Dazed and Convicted is now part of the Pod Awful Network at podawful.net.
They sent one person, Rolf, to try to block the door so that he couldn't enter again. Just one person? I mean, everyone in this town's an idiot except for Greg. Greg's the only, maybe that's why he flipped out. He's the only one that's reasonable in the entire town, and he decided he couldn't take it anymore.
Hi, I'm Monica Homburg, and this is Dazed and Convicted. What do we do here on Dazed and Convicted? We read two news items that have complete fucktards in them. People who have done something rampantly insane. And then we call someone hilarious and we get their take on who the fucktard of the week is. And at the end there is some other weird story. That's pretty much the show. Oh, there's also sketches where we envision some aspect of what happened in these news stories. Or envision some completely other bizarre scenario that's related. Even just slightly related. My co-host is Bill Ullman. I hope you enjoy the show. And just to let you know, we are going to be taking a break over the holidays. So our next show will be on January 11th. Please, no riots. Please.
Competitor 1.
Gregory Eldred, elementary school music teacher, fatally shoots ex-wife Darlene Sittler at church. Pittsburgh. An elementary school music teacher shot his ex-wife while she played the organ during church service. The right time to shoot someone because you're bored off your tree. And after leaving briefly, he returned and shot her again to ensure she was dead. Elementary school music teacher. Like, if there's any career I think would make me go ballistic, it'd be being an elementary school music teacher. First of all, you're teaching children all the time, and they suck in general. And also, they're constantly playing these shitty songs in a shitty manner. That was very good, Bobby. And that's all day, every day.
Yeah.
And every day, you have to face your broken dreams and see how pathetic you are, which is something I understand completely. So I'm feeling for this guy. Congregants eventually overpowered Gregory Eldred, ending the shooting Sunday at the First United Presbyterian Church of Cloudersport, about 140 miles northeast of Pittsburgh. Eldred's ex-wife, 53-year-old Darlene Sittler, the choir director, was seated at the organ when she was shot about 20 minutes into the 11 a.m. service, state police said. So he'd heard enough. He was sitting there and he was just like, it's not going to get any better.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is a harsh critic.
Pastor Evan Loy told police that Eldred entered the church wearing a hooded beige jacket and he leveled the gun at the victim and shot, according to the criminal complaint. The woman then fell into the organ pit. Eldred quickly left the building and put a handgun on the hood of his vehicle while those inside called 911 and aided Sittler.
Another witness said that Eldred picked up the gun about 5 minutes later while the pastor tried to hold the church door shut but was unable to. The witness and his wife tried to persuade Eldred to drop the gun, but he instead threatened to shoot them and the pastor, telling them, "I want to finish this." Eldred then walked towards his ex-wife, saying, "I got to see her. I got to see if she's dead. Teacher, hello, I got to see her."
He's not an English teacher. He's a music teacher. He may not be able to speak.
Either that or they're just quoting from, you know, every black villain in a Dirty Harry movie. I gots to know, man.
But at the same time, if you're going to commit a crime, that's the time you turn into an action hero.
And saith the baby Jesus, lo, it is my birthday.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Keith, we practiced that.
Jenny, in this world there are two types of people, those who play the organ and those who teach the word of God. I teach the word of God. Now eat lead, snitch!
Ow!
Oh my God, he shot her right in the organ!
Candle you, Father Flanagan! Ow!
You're bleeding, Jenny!
I ain't got time to bleed.
Go ahead, Father. Make me pray.
Oh, so the choir loft wants a piece of this, huh?
hit the bird!
Look out!
I got you!
Did not!
You're dead!
I am not!
Hail Mary, full of grace.
Oh. Oh.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mother Prayer.
Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. Future tense.
Now I know what you're thinking. Did he fire 6 shots or only 5? Being as this is a 70-round clip, it doesn't serving matter, followers.
I have had it with these Bible-loving freaks in this church-attending town!
I'm leaving, but I'll be back.
Keep shooting!
Hey, maybe you haven't been keeping up on current events, but we just got our asses kicked, pal.
Okay, we've all had our fun. And Keith's dead. Let us meditate on the words of our Savior where, verily, he said unto his disciples that when struck, they should turn the other cheek.
Fuck, you shot me in the ass! Oh, that hurts!
But it was your other cheek, Father.
Well played, brother. Well played. Go in peace.
I got to see her. I got to see if she's dead. Before firing 2 more shots at Sittler.
I'm not a criminal. And I don't own a gun. Yeah, and I'd suck at it. We all know. But this much I understand. The time to finish off shooting someone is around the same time you started shooting them. This is what I'm like when I leave my apartment. You know, I'm constantly like several blocks away going, did I lock my door? Did I lock my door? Fuck, I think I locked my door. I'm just going to go check.
OCD.
Obsessive compulsive dumbass.
Sure. Police found bullets scattered hither and yon. They also found a bullet lodged in a wooden pew and another beneath a pillow that was under the victim's head, although they didn't immediately explain how it got there. I'm just going to take a wild guess. It went through her head.
It's a mystery to this force. They're like, we don't want to jump to any conclusions. These bullets could have come from anywhere.
There was a bit in the article where it said an autopsy had yet to be performed, but they were quite certain that she died from the gunshot wound.
Yeah.
Quite certain. But not positive.
No.
Could have been.
No certainty.
Nope, absolutely not. Could have been, you know, some nasty bug that was going around and.
Yeah. Well, it's, like, it's a special version of, the flesh-eating disease. It's just that it's bullets, you know, that rifle through your skin. It's so gross. Hey, there's also a part in this article where they mention that the local police don't start work until 4 p.m.
The coroner, Dusenberry, said that it was clear that Sittler died of the gunshot wounds, but wouldn't say how many there were or where on her body.
He's good at his job.
He's precise.
Yeah. I don't know where they are.
There's a bunch of them.
Yeah. You want to look? No.
Dusenberry, who's been the coroner since 1984, said he was shaken by the unprecedented tragedy and prayed the family, community, and church would recover. I've never encountered anything quite like it. It's terrible, he said.
I get the sense that although he's been coroner since 1984, nothing's ever happened in this town. This might be his first autopsy. There's stuff going wrong with this woman's body, and I can't figure it out.
Let me refer to Grey's Anatomy. Huh, there aren't supposed to be holes here.
Competitor 2.
Oh, baby, Justin Bieber murder plot. 2 men were hired to kill and castrate the Canadian pop star. 2 men were arrested over a bizarre murder-for-hire plot involving Canadian pop star Justin Bieber. It's alleged that Mark Stake and his nephew, Tanner Ron, were hired to castrate and murder the singer, presumably in that order, only to have the plot botched by the very man who hired them. The plot began in Las Cruces prison in New Mexico, where Stake met convicted serial killer and rapist Dana Martin. Martin, who was 45 at the time, hired Stake, who was also serving time, to carry out 4 murders after Stake was released from prison, one of which was to be Bieber. Now, I'm not sure how someone with an interest in serial killing and raping then turns his attention to, well, maybe I was going down the wrong path. I should be having pop stars whacked.
Branding's important.
Keep it simple.
Right.
Yeah, McDonald's is remembered for hamburgers. This dude needs to be remembered for contracted killing. And castration, which I think dilutes the brand, to be honest.
Yeah, I would agree.
Well, an affidavit from the New Mexico State Police said that Martin wanted the high-profile target dead so that he himself could become more infamous from behind bars.
Stake conscripted his nephew, which is always a bad idea, because nobody has a smart nephew who's a criminal. And the pair were arrested in New York on November 20th, where they had allegedly planned to stake out. Stake wanted to... have someone stick... castrate and assassinate Bieber around the time of the Singer. See, I'm not letting you get that word in to criticize how stupid my joke was.
It was going to be insert sound of crickets here.
So he planned to stake out, castrate, and assassinate Bieber around the time of the Singer's November 28th Madison Square Garden concert. A set of garden shears was found, Jesus Christ, on Rand's person at the time of his arrest. There's not actual tools for doing castration. Like, if you're going to do it...
There are actually gelding pliers that you could borrow from a farmer. But garden shears seem...
According to reports, Martin, who is currently serving two life sentences for the 2000 rape and murder of a 15-year-old girl...
I'm starting to understand why he wanted to hire someone to do it, though. Because by the time he gets out, Bieber's going to be playing six nights a week in Las Vegas.
That's true. But it'll be easier to get to him.
Oh, yeah.
His fans won't be as active. So Martin turns Stake and Ruan into police. Martin is said to be obsessed with Bieber and has a tattoo of the Singer on his leg.
All right, Martin, your publicist is here. You've got 15 minutes to visit. No touching.
Hey, Dana. Let's pick up where we left off. So, about that foreign kid, Justin Bieber?
He's gonna come visit me?
No. Look, I've been thinking about that guy since we talked. I've studied your demographic for months, and I believe he's your best choice to have whacked.
But I love the little guy. I got that tattoo of him and everything.
What about your anonymity? Do you love that?
No.
Besides, if you whack a real celebrity, you're almost guaranteed a book deal. Maybe even a sitcom.
I hate sitcoms.
Okay, babe, no problem. No sitcom.
Yeah, no, stay away from those. They'll make you look bad.
And you are?
I'm Grocco. I'm Dana's partner in here.
Oh.
I had a crap publicist, so I'm careful. He got me to off Heath Ledger.
I thought that was an accident.
Raw deal, right? But you can learn from my mistakes. See, I got all the pills, everything, and I even hired one of the kids off Full House to deliver the dose. But I didn't leave a manifesto at the scene. That's what you gotta make sure to do.
Hire a Full House actor?
No, the manifesto.
I like the Full House actor angle.
But whoever we hire, we gotta go for Bieber, okay?
Okay.
Right now, the only monkey in the ointment is Randy Quaid.
Who?
I'm not sure either, but he's onto the whole Star Wacker thing.
Yeah, he almost fucked up my whole Heath Ledger plan. Heath was watching a film Quaid was in.
The big problem is now he's hiding out in Canada.
Bieber's Canadian. You think Quaid would warn him?
We can't take that chance. We'll have to kill him too.
Hey, how about if I just put out a call to my cousin Jim in Saskatoon? He should know them both. He'll keep them apart.
Thank you, Grocco.
Grocco.
So, how do we do it? Stabbing?
Yawnsville. Come on, Dana, babe. A little effort, please. Think nightly news.
Oh, bludgeon him to death with his microphone and then shave his head.
That's great. Think sexy.
That is sexy.
Maybe you could kill him by making him listen to his own music.
You need to leave now.
Sorry. Also, I can't.
Face the wall, then.
Okay, so think sex god.
I've got it. We'll get some numbnuts to castrate him.
Brilliant! Poetic justice! Or irony! Or something!
Yeah, they cut his nuts off and play hide the bunnies.
Oh, dude, you're gonna be so famous!
The plot allegedly also called for the murder of Bieber's bodyguard, because that's gonna happen! Two morons against a professional bodyguard.
No problem. Walk right through.
Detectives recorded phone calls in which Rand expressed his disappointment at the failure of the plot. I didn't get to castrate nobody, boss! He expressed his disappointment at the failure of the plot, which was mysteriously unraveled by Martin himself.
News sources in Burlington, Vermont said that Rand described how his role in the murders would be to castrate the victims with a pair of hedge clippers. The best quote, possibly, of 2012. I was going to go snip, snip. Said investigator Clinton Norris of the New Mexico State Police, quoting a jailhouse recording of Ron to his employer, Martin.
That's how they explained it to this guy, complete with a chalkboard, illustrations, and a lot of grunting.
Yes.
You gotta go snip, snip! Snip, snip! I don't understand! Snip, snip! You go snip!
I can see the trial, complete with an anatomically correct doll and a pair of scissors.
Yeah.
Show us what you plan to do to the victim.
I go snip, snip! Time to call Brian Frangie and see what he has to say about these masterful and subtle fucktards.
Hello?
Hey, Hey, Brian.
Monica?
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey.
Is this Monica?
It's...
Oh, my God. What a great guest.
You are absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, you know, I've been reading those books, but also just, like, I don't really receive many phone calls.
We'll start with the music teacher murder.
Great story. You know, I actually sympathize with the murderer in this one. I feel like he's a sympathetic character because, did you see his picture? I mean, he's bald, he's got glasses, and he's a male clarinetist, which means he probably had the shit beat out of him his entire life. It's a woodwind instrument. It's only one step away from the flute. I was in a band. I was in the band when I was in school, and I played the trumpet. And I can tell you this. Every male clarinetist was ridiculed, even by the other band kids. So this guy probably had a whole life.
See, I didn't even think of it that way. I didn't think it was the instrument.
Yeah, you can't play a woodwind instrument as a guy unless it's the saxophone. A clarinet is a feminine instrument. There's no doubt about it. The only thing you could do that's worse than a clarinet is a flute. Luckily, this guy wasn't a flautist, or else he might have taken out more than just his ex-wife. But let me tell you what happened with this, okay? This guy is a male clarinet player, which means he is definitely a Jew. There is no doubt about it. He is following in the footsteps of Klezmer. He wants to play the clarinet. So he marries this woman, okay? And she's a church-going Christian, and they get divorced. This guy has been ridiculed his entire life. He already accepted the fact that he's going to marry a Gentile, and then she divorces him. I mean, I'm not saying he should have killed her, but I understand why he was upset.
You're empathizing with this guy. I understand that.
The parallels do not end here. I have a theory. Do you want to hear the theory?
Please, I would love to hear the theory.
Greg Eldred is a time traveler. And he was killing his ex-wife because she is the reincarnation of Hitler. And he is a Jew. What is her last name? Darlene Sittler. Oh, yeah, like that. You're going to hide behind an S? Just like Hitler hid behind the SS? Darlene was the reincarnation of Hitler. Greg Eldred is a hero. He killed the reincarnation of Adolf Hitler. And I think we should all be thanking him, not putting him up in the news like a murderer, even though he did murder somebody.
Wow! You see, this is why I call people like you, because I didn't have that insight into this article, and now I see this guy in a completely different way. I thought he was just sad.
The real fucktards of this story, I'm definitely not Greg Eldred, is the police and the coroner. Did you read the quotes from the police and the coroner? First of all, the police don't patrol until 4 p.m.? Okay, so I could commit a crime anytime before 4 p.m. and there's not even going to be any police around.
Crimes only get committed after 4 p.m. Even if criminals know about that time issue, they're going to wait because the police force is off. It's a consideration that happens in small towns. You wait.
Is everybody in this town that's a criminal a vampire? Are they just waiting for the nighttime?
Yeah, but then they're up all night committing crimes and doing shit until about, you know, 3 a.m. or whenever it is that the police force quits.
If they don't start until 4, then when do they end? Is it 3 a.m.? Is that when?
You know how normally in normal cities there are people doing a day shift and a night shift? Well, there's only one shift there.
Late afternoon for all those early bird special murders that happen at the IHOP.
The IHOP, the Denny's, those things are covered.
Something about these police, all right? They are idiots. Here are two things they said that I read in the article. There is a bullet lodged in a wooden pew and another beneath a pillow that was under the victim's head. The police didn't immediately explain how it got there. How did it get there? There's a bullet underneath the body of a woman who was just shot. What is this doing here?
They couldn't have made the connection that maybe somebody had grabbed a pillow to comfort her, to put her, you know, she's already in pain, let's put a pillow under your head. But then they're like, well, the bullet's under the pillow, though. I don't get it.
Real. It's like a magic trick.
They think, because everyone said that she was shot by this guy, that that's maybe how she died.
That was the idiot coroner, Kevin Dusenberry, who said they had her on the table, and Dusenberry says, it's clear Sittler died of gunshot wounds, though I can't immediately say how many and where. Wow. I mean, you're a coroner. Can't you just look at a body?
You're looking at all the holes.
How many times did this woman get shot? I don't know. And where? I wish I learned the names of body parts, then I'd be able to describe where they were.
I wish I took that advanced math course where I learned how to count past 10.
You didn't even have to count past 10. The guy shot her 3 times. 3. You can learn that on Sesame Street in a day. I can teach it to you now in 3 seconds. 1, 2, 3. That's how many times he got shot. And this guy's a coroner? I think the police and the coroner are in cahoots, and they're letting Greg Eldred kill this woman because they know that she is the reincarnation of Hitler. They can't be this dumb.
Now that you've established he's helping the world, so about the Bieber plot, guys.
Well, I mean, this one, I mean, the criminals are just absolutely idiots in this one. Did you read, there's a CNN article about this that says the reason why the guy got caught was because he made a wrong turn on a Vermont road and ended up heading toward the Canadian border. A U.S. Border Patrol agent arrested him because he had an outstanding warrant. So this guy's going out to kill 4 people and he makes a wrong turn and gets picked up by the police. I mean, she's going to kill Justin Bieber. You think at least he'd have a GPS with him, for crying out loud. Cut off their testicles too. This is the saddest part of the story is, Tanner Ruane, Mark Stake's nephew. Mark Stake gets out of prison. He goes to his nephew, Tanner Ruane, and says, "Hey, you want to make some money? Let's go cut off Justin Bieber's balls." And Tanner Ruane, who does not have a criminal record, says yes.
He wasn't only down for this shit. He was actually really psyched about the cutting off. You know, like, I don't know how he got that default job. That he wasn't going to be the one that killed this guy. He was going to be the one that cut off his nuts. But he was right in for it, and then he's actually disappointed when it didn't happen.
He told the police, "I was going to go snip, snip."
Well, at least he can articulate it so well.
They found garden shears, the guy's car, garden shears, and that's what they were going to cut off the balls with. And I would just love to see them at a Home Depot or a Lowe's looking for the garden shears. Like, "Excuse me, sir, do you have any garden shears that are capable of cutting off Justin Bieber's balls? I mean, what is the best type of equipment for that?"
Maybe they weren't specific if it was Justin Bieber. Maybe they just said, "We have a pop star in mind. Does this generally go through pop star's testicles, or do I need a more efficient ball cutter?"
When Mark Stick got arrested, Tanner Ruane was set free because he wasn't a criminal. He didn't have a warrant. So then he goes home and he calls Dana Martin, the guy who hired him. That's the first thing he does. And of course, he calls Dana in prison to explain what happened. And of course, they're recording this conversation. He calls him and he tells him that everything went wrong and they had a code word. Okay. They were speaking in code, but their code was, instead of referring to Justin Bieber and the other 3 potential victims as people, they referred to them as dogs. I am sure that threw the police right off the scent. Like, I know we were going to go to Madison Square Garden where that dog was going to sing Baby Baby, but apparently the dogs are going to be set free because the dog killer got pulled over. And even the motive for the guy who hired them, the Dana Martin, he hired them so that he can be infamous for hiring the people that cut off Justin Bieber. He didn't kill them. He's been 2 life sentences in prison. Oh, so he's going to be infamous for hiring people? So that, what, if Derek Jeter hits a home run, does that mean Brian Cashman gets credit for it? No, people like Derek Jeter. You got to be the one to kill Bieber to get the fame. No one's going to care that you're rotting in jail and you pay $200 for these idiots to cut off his balls. Those guys are going to be in the news, not Dana the man. Martin.
Who is the fucktard of the week?
Absolutely has to be County Coroner Kevin Dusenberry. I mean, he can't even count to 3. He's a coroner and he doesn't know how many gunshot wounds were in this lady and where. He is the fucktard of the week.
This one is local.
Yay, local.
Which is what I always think the ones that seem most clued out tend to be from here.
Yeah, and there's a reason for that.
Abbotsford police are sending crooks Christmas cards this year, asking them to consider a different lifestyle. They don't want them to be gay.
Oh.
That's so rude.
Knowing Abbotsford, yes, that's probably what it is.
gangsters, drug dealers, and prolific offenders.
And that's a partridge in a pear tree.
Also sounds like a compliment.
Charles Dickens was a prolific writer. You're a prolific offender. Have a great holiday season.
So they'll receive some lovely Christmas cards from Abbotsford Police this season, featuring an image of Santa Claus clad in tactical gear and bearing the greeting, "Which list will you be on next year?" Constable Ian MacDonald said he hopes the several dozen recipients... That's all we've got. Constable Ian MacDonald said he hopes the several dozen recipients will choose to be nice. And it shouldn't be too difficult a choice. Again, I'm pissed off because this is painting Canada in exactly all the stereotypical ways. It's like, well, we're just asking that you be nice, little criminal.
We're not asking you to not break the lie. We're just asking you to be nice about it.
And it shouldn't be too difficult a choice to be nice after seeing the cards gun-toting Saint Nick, who also holds a day job as the Valley City top cop.
Laura Balance of the Laura Balance Media Group public relations firm said it's refreshing to see police messaging offenders directly. I thought freeze, motherfucker, was a direct message to an offender. I didn't really think you had to send them mail.
I think they're also sending them text.
Yeah.
Hope you think your day through a little better.
If, and this is the media consultant talking, who probably designed and sold them these cards, if this gets even one criminal to think about what they're doing, I think it's a success, she said.
It's also, like, what a great measurement. If it gets even one criminal to think about what they're doing,
yeah.
One, and also just think, doesn't mean act, doesn't mean change their life, but if they had that one moment where they went, is it okay to be a criminal? I don't know. And it ends with the following. Who knows? A little Christmas spirit might just work. Hold on one second.
Hey, kid, want some weed?
I'm no kid. I'm one of Santa's little helpers.
Oh, shit. Don't tell the big guy, okay? I'm quitting this racket today.
Everyone down! This is a robbery! You, fill this bag with money!
Hey, have you ever considered another line of work?
No, I haven't. Thanks. I'm going to go back to school.
I'll kill my wife, and then I'll shoot myself.
Go in, Bobby. Take him down.
What the world needs now...
What are you doing?
...is love, sweet what? Love.
That's true. The world does need more of that. Sorry, Han.
Take off your stockings, bitch. I'm going to give it to you good.
What do you think Santa's going to put in your stockings if you do this?
I don't want coal again. Here's taxi fare. Get home safe.
You better not kill. You better not steal. Mom and Dad are using, so you gotta squeal. Santa Claus is wearing a badge.
Dear Abbotsford Police, your recent card has inspired me not to lead a better life, but to kill Santa! By the time you receive this letter, the fat bastard will be dead!
Thank you for listening to Dazed and Convicted, episode 84. Our wonderful guest this week was Brian Frangie. Here's a little bit about him.
Well, I'm a stand-up comedian in New York City. You can follow me on Twitter at Brian Frangie. I also have a podcast. It's a conspiracy theory paranormal podcast called The Unbelievable Podcast, which you can find on iTunes. And, yeah, that's it.
As you heard earlier, we're now on the Pod Awful Network, podawful.net. Jesse P.S., who was a fantastic guest on episode 76, spearheads that network, so we're very proud to be here. You can find all episodes and show notes at dazedandconvicted.com. I will soon also have a monthly newsletter with bonus audio content. You can sign up at tinyletter.com/Monica Homburg. We're on Twitter, at DazedConvicted. On Facebook, facebook.com/DazedAndConvicted. You can email me at monica@DazedAndConvicted.com. Please subscribe on iTunes, through the feed. However, if you're on iTunes, we'd love it if you could rate and review. We're also on Stitcher. Please help us promote there by sharing using the one-click Facebook/Twitter icons or by favoriting us. The show also randomly replays on the CWE network. Some other cool shows are also there. Please check it out. CWERadio.com/shows. And finally, please tell me who you think is the bigger fucktard and why on any of the social networks, or vote or comment on our site. Again, the site is dazedandconvicted.com. Thank you so very much. Enjoy your fucktards this holiday season.